Knowing what I know, it doesn't seem like there should be any way to know a ship is coming.
What do you mean, knowing what you know?
Newman said. Alan, another squad leader. I didn't want to say he was a friend, because I suspected they'd think that was suspicious. Said that skip drives work by transferring a ship into another universe just like the one it left, and that both its appearance and disappearance are phenomenally unlikely. If that's the case, it doesn't seem like you should be able to know when and where a ship will appear. It just does.
What do you think happened here, then?
Asked Javna. What do you mean? I asked.
Well, as you say, there shouldn't be any way to know that a ship is skipping, Javna said. The only way we can figure this ambush occurred is if someone tipped off the RA.
Oh, back to this, I said.
Look, even if we supposed the existence of a traitor, how did he do it?
Even if he somehow managed to get word to the RA that a fleet was coming, there's no possible way he could have known where every ship was going to appear in Coral Space.
The RA were waiting for us, remember? They hit us while we were skipping into Coral Space. So again, Javna said, what do you think happened here?
I shrugged. Maybe skipping isn't as unlikely as we thought it was, I said.
Don't get too worked up over the interrogations, Harry said,
handing me a cup of fruit juice he had gotten for me at the medical center's commissary.
They gave us the same, it's suspicious you survived bit.
How did you react? I asked.
Hell, Harry said. I agreed with them. It's damn suspicious. Funny thing is, I don't think they like that response any better. But ultimately, you can't blame them. The colonies have just gotten the rug pulled out from under us. If we don't figure out what happened at Coral, we're in trouble.
Well, and there's an interesting point, I said.
What do you think happened?
I don't know, Harry said.
Maybe skipping isn't as unlikely as we thought.
He sipped his own juice.
Funny. That's what I said.
Yeah, but I mean it, Harry said.
I don't have the theoretical physics background of Alan, God rest his soul, but the entire theoretical model on which we understand skipping has to be wrong somehow. Obviously, the RA have some way to predict with a high degree of accuracy where our ships are going to skip.
How do they do that?
I don't think you're supposed to be able to, I said.
That's exactly right, but they do anyway.
So, quite obviously, our model of how skipping works is wrong. Theory gets thrown out the window when observation proves it isn't so. The question now is, what is really going on?
Any thoughts on it? I said.
A couple. Although it's not really my field, Harry said. I don't really have the math for it.
I laughed.
You know, Alan said something very much like that to me not too long ago.
Harry smiled and raised his cup.
To Alan, he said.
To Alan, I said. And all our absent friends.
Amen,
Harry said. And we drank.
Harry, you said you were there when they brought me on board the Sparrowhawk, I said.
I was,
he said.
You were a mess. No offense.
None taken, I said.
Do you remember anything about the squad that brought me in?
A little, Harry said.
But not too much. They kept us isolated away from the rest of the ship for most of the trip. I saw you in the sick bay when they brought you in. They were examining us.
Was there a woman in my rescue party?
Yes,
Harry said.
Tall, brown hair. That's all I remember right off the top of my head. To be honest, I was paying more attention to you than who was bringing you in. I knew you. I didn't know them.
Why?
Harry, one of the people who rescued me was my wife. I'd swear on it.
I thought your wife is dead, Harry said.
My wife is dead, I said. But this was her. It wasn't Kathy as she was back when we were married. She was a CDF soldier, green skin and all.
Harry looked doubtful.
You were probably hallucinating, John.
Yeah, but if I was hallucinating, why would I hallucinate Kathy as a CDF soldier? Wouldn't I just remember her as she was?
I don't know, Harry said. Hallucinations, by definition, aren't real. It's not as if they follow rules.
There's no reason you couldn't have hallucinated your dead wife as CDF.
Harry, I know I sound a little nuts, but I saw my wife, I said. I may have been chopped up, but my brain was working fine. I know what I saw.
Harry sat there for a moment.
My squad had a few days on the Sparrowhawk to stew, you know, he said. We were crammed into a rec room with nowhere to go and nothing to do. They wouldn't even allow us access to the ship's entertainment servers. We had to be escorted to the head. So we talked about the crew of the ship, and about the Special Forces soldiers. And here's an interesting thing. None of us knew anyone who had ever entered the Special Forces from the general ranks. By itself, it doesn't mean anything. Most of us are still in our first couple of years of service, but it's interesting.
Maybe you have to be in the service a long time, I said.
Maybe, Harry said. But maybe it's something else. They call them ghost brigades, after all.
He took another sip of his juice and then set it down on my bedside table.
I think I'm going to go do some digging. If I don't come back, avenge my death.
I'll do as best as I can under the circumstances, I said.
Do that, Harry said, grinning. See what you can find out, too. You have at least another couple of interrogation sessions coming up. Try a little interrogating of your own.
What about the Sparrowhawk?
Major Javna said at our next interview session.
Well, I'd like to send a message to it, I said. I want to thank them for saving my life.
It's not necessary, Lieutenant Colonel Newman said.
Well, I know, but it's the polite thing to do, I said. When someone keeps you from being eaten toe by woodland animals, the least he can do is send a little note. In fact, I'd like to send the note directly to the guys who found me. How do I do that?
You can't,
Javna said.
Why not? I asked, innocently.
The Sparrowhawk is a Special Forces ship, Newman said. They run silent. Communication between Special Forces ships and the rest of the fleet is limited.
Well, that doesn't seem very fair, I said. I've been in the service for over a year and I never had problem getting mail to my friends on other ships. You would think even Special Forces soldiers would want to hear from their friends in the outside universe.
Newman and Javna glanced at each other.
We're getting off track, Newman said.
All I want to do is send a note, I said.
We'll look into it,
Javna said, in a tone that said, no, we won't.
I sighed and then told them for probably the 20th time about why I gave permission to blow the Modesto's shuttle bay doors.
How's your jaw? Dr. Fiorina asked.
Fully functional and ready to chew on something, I said. Not that I don't like soup through a straw, but it gets monotonous after a while.
I sympathize, Fiorina said.
Now, let's look at the leg.
I pulled down the covers and let him take a look. The ring was now halfway down the calf.
Oh, excellent, he said. I want you to start walking on that. The unprocessed portion will support your weight, and it'll be good to give the leg a little exercise. I'll give you a cane to use for the next couple of days. I notice you have some friends who come to visit you. Why don't you have them take you to lunch or something?
You don't have to tell me twice, I said, and flexed the new leg a little.
Good as new, I said.
Better,
Fiorina said.
We've made a few improvements to the CDF body structure since you were enlisted. They've been incorporated into the leg, and the rest of your body will feel the benefit, too.
Makes you wonder why the CDF just doesn't go all the way, I said. Replace the body with something designed totally for war. Fiorina looked up from his data pad.
You have green skin, cat's eyes, and a computer in your skull, he said. How much less human do you want to be?
That's a good point, I said.
Indeed, Fiorina said. I'll have an orderly bring in that cane.
He tapped his data pad to send the order.
Hey, Doc, I said. Did you treat anybody else that came off the Sparrowhawk?
No,
he said.
Really, Corporal, you were challenge enough.
So none of the Sparrowhawk crew? Fiorina smirked.
Oh, no. They're special forces.
So?
Let's just say they have special needs, Fiorina said.
And then the orderly came in with my cane.
You know what you can find out about the Ghost Brigades? Officially, I mean?
Harry said.
I'm guessing not a lot, I said.
Not a lot is an overstatement, Harry said.
You can't find out a damn thing.
Harry, Jesse, and I were lunching at one of Phoenix Station's commissaries. For my first trip out, I suggested we go as far away from Brenneman as we could. This particular commissary was on the other side of the station. The view was nothing special. It overlooked a small shipyard, but was known station-wide for its burgers, and the reputation was justified. The cook, in his past life, had begun a chain of specialty hamburger restaurants. For a literal hole in the wall, it was constantly packed. But my and Harry's burgers were growing cold as we talked about the Ghost Brigades.
I asked Javna Newman about getting a note to the Sparrowhawk and got stonewalled, I said.
Not surprised, Harry said. Officially, the Sparrowhawk exists, but that's all you can find out. You can't find out anything about its crew, its size, its armament, or its location. All the information isn't there. Do a more general search on Special Forces or Ghost Brigades in the CDF database, and you likewise get nothing.
So you guys have nothing at all, Jesse said.
Oh, I didn't say that, Harry said, and smiled. You can't find out anything officially, but unofficially, there's lots to know.
Then how do you manage to find information unofficially?
Jesse said.
Well, you know, Harry said, my sparkling personality does wonders.
Please, Jesse said, I'm eating here, which is more than you two can say.
So, what did you find out?
I asked, and took a bite of my burger.
It was fabulous. Understand that this is all rumor and innuendo, Harry said, which means that it's probably more accurate than what we'd get officially, I said.
Possibly,
Harry granted.
The big news is that there is indeed a reason why they're called Ghost Brigades. It's not an official designation, you know. It's a nickname. The rumor, which I've heard from more than one place, is that Special Forces members are dead people.
Excuse me? I said. Jessie looked up from her burger.
Well, not real dead people per se, Harry said. They're not zombies, but there are a lot of people who sign up to join the CDF who die before their 75th birthday. When that happens, apparently the CDF doesn't just throw out your DNA. They use it to make Special Forces members.
Something hit me. Jesse, you remember when Leon Deke died? What the medical technician said? A last-minute volunteer for the Ghost Brigades. I thought it was just some kind of sick joke.
How can they do that? Jesse asked. That's not ethical at all.
Isn't it?
Harry said.
When you give your intent to sign up, you give the CDF the right to use whatever procedures necessary to enhance your combat readiness, and you can't be combat ready if you're dead. It's in the contract. If it's not ethical, it's at least legal.
Yeah, but there's a difference between using my DNA to create a new body for me to use and using the new body without me in it,
Jesse said.
Details, details, Harry said.
I don't like the idea of my body running around on its own. Jesse said. I don't think it's right for the CDF to do that.
Well, that's not all they do, Harry said. You know that these new bodies we have are deeply genetically modified. Well, apparently Special Forces bodies are even more modified than ours. The Special Forces soldiers are guinea pigs for new enhancements and abilities before they're introduced into the general population. And there are rumors that some of the modifications are truly radical. Bodies modified to the point of not looking human anymore.
My doctor said something about Special Forces soldiers having special needs, I said. But even allowing for hallucinations, the people who rescued me looked human enough.
And we didn't see any mutants or freaks on the Sparrowhawk, Jesse said.
We weren't allowed full run of the ship, either, Harry pointed out. They kept us in one area and kept us disconnected from everything else. We saw sickbay, and we saw the wreck area, and that was it.
People see special forces in battle and walking around all the time, Jesse said.
Well, sure they do, Harry said. But that's not saying that they see all of them.
Your paranoia is acting up again, sweetie, Jesse said, and fed Harry a French fry.
Mmm. Thank you, precious, Harry said, accepting it. But even throwing out the rumor about super-modified special forces, there's still enough there to account for John seeing his wife. It's not really Kathy, though. Just someone using her body.
Who? I said.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Harry said. Your wife is dead, so they couldn't put her personality into the body. Either they have some sort of pre-formatted personality they put into Special Forces soldiers, or someone else went from an old body into her new one, I said.
Jesse shivered. I'm sorry, John, but that's just creepy.
John? You okay?
Harry said.
What?
Yeah, I'm fine, I said. It's just a lot to deal with at one time. The idea that my wife could be alive, but not really, and that someone who isn't her is walking around in her skin. I think I almost preferred it when there was a possibility that I hallucinated her. I looked over to Harry and Jesse. Both of them were frozen and staring.
Guys, I said. Speak of the devil, said Harry.
What? I said.
John,
Jesse said.
She's in line for a burger.
I spun around, knocking over my plate as I did so. Then I felt like I got dunked directly into a vat of ice.
Holy shit, I said.
It was her. No doubt about it. Chapter 14. I started to get up. Harry grabbed my hand.
What are you doing?
He asked. I'm going to go talk to her, I said.
You sure you want to do that?
He asked.
What are you talking about?
I asked.
Of course I'm sure. What I'm saying is that maybe you'd want Jesse or me to talk to her first, Harry said, to see if she wants to meet you.
Jesus, Harry, I said. This isn't the sixth fucking grade.
That's my wife. No, it's not, John, Harry said. It's someone entirely different. You don't know if she will even want to speak to you.
John, even if she does speak to you, you're going to be two total strangers, Jesse said. Whatever you're expecting out of this encounter, you're not going to get it.
I'm not expecting anything, I said.
We just don't want you to be hurt, Jesse said.
I'll be fine, I said, and looked at them both. Please, let me go, Harry. I'll be fine.
Harry and Jesse looked at each other. Harry let go of my hand.
Thank you, I said. What are you going to say to her?
Harry wanted to know.
I'm going to tell her thanks for saving my life, I said, and got up.
By this time, she and two companions had got their orders and had made their way to a small table further back in the commissary. I threaded my way to the table. The three of them were talking, but stopped as I approached. She had her back to me as I approached and turned as her companions glanced up at me. I stopped as I got a look at her face. It was different, of course. Beyond the obvious skin and eyes, she was so much younger than Kathy had been. A face that was as Kathy was half a century before. Even then, it was different. Leaner than Kathy's had ever been, keeping with the CDF genetically installed predisposition for fitness. Kathy's hair had always been a nearly uncontrolled mane, even as she aged and most other women switched to more matronly cuts. The woman in front of me kept her hair close on her head and off her collar. It was the hair that was the most jarring. It had been so long since I'd seen a person without green skin that it didn't register with me anymore.
but the hair was nothing that I remembered.
"It's not nice to stare," the woman said, using Kathy's voice.
"And before you ask, you're not my type."
"Yes, I am," a part of my brain said.
"I'm sorry, I don't really mean to intrude," I said. "I was just wondering if you might recognize me."
She flicked her eyes up and down on me.
"I really don't," she said. "And trust me, we weren't in basic training together."
"You rescued me," I said, "on Coral."
She perked up a little at this.
"No shit," she said. "No wonder I didn't recognize you. The last time I saw you, you were missing the lower half of your head. No offense. And no offense to this either, but I'm amazed you're still alive. I wouldn't have bet on you to make it."
"I had something to live for," I said.
"Apparently," she said.
"I'm John Perry," I said, and held out my hand. "I'm afraid I don't know your name."
"Jane Sagan," she said, taking it.
I held it a little longer than I should have. She had a slightly puzzled expression when I finally let go.
"Corporal Perry," one of her companions began. He had taken the opportunity to access information about me from his brain pal. "We're kind of in a rush to eat here. We have to be back to our ship in a half hour, so if you don't mind, do you recognize me from anywhere else?" I asked Jane, cutting him off.
"No,"
she said, slightly frosty now.
"Thanks for coming over, but now I'd really like to eat."
"Let me send you something," I said. "A picture, through your brain pal."
"That's really not necessary," Jane said.
"One picture," I said. "Then I'll go. Humor me."
"Fine," she said. "Hurry it up."
Among the few possessions that I had taken with me when I left Earth was a digital photo album of family, friends, and places that I had loved. When my brain pal activated, I had uploaded the photos into its onboard memory, a smart move in retrospect since my photo album and all my other earthly possessions but one went down with the Modesto. I accessed one particular photo from the album and sent it to her. I watched as she accessed her brain pal and then turned again to look at me.
"Do you recognize me now?" I asked.
She moved fast. Faster than even normal CDF, grabbed me and slammed me against a nearby bulkhead. I was pretty sure I felt one of my newly repaired ribs crack. From across the commissary, Harry and Jesse leapt up and moved in. Jane's companions moved to intercept. I tried to breathe.
"Who the fuck are you?" Jane hissed at me. "And what are you trying to pull?"
"I'm John Perry,"
I wheezed.
"I'm not trying to pull anything."
"Bullshit! Where did you get that picture?"
she said. Close up. Low.
"Who made it for you?"
"No one made it for me,"
I said, equally low.
"I got that picture at my wedding. It's my wedding photo."
I almost said our wedding photo, but caught myself just in time.
"The woman in the picture is my wife, Kathy. She died before she could enlist. They took her DNA and used it to make you. Part of her is in you. Part of you is in that picture. Part of what you are gave me this."
I held up my left hand and showed her my wedding ring, my only remaining earthly possession. Jane snarled, picked me up, and hurled me hard across the room. I skipped over a couple of tabletops, knocking away hamburgers, condiment packages, and napkin holders, before coming to rest on the ground. Along the way, I clocked my head on a metal corner. There was the briefest of oozes coming from my temple. Harry and Jesse disengaged from their wary dance with Jane's companions and headed over to me. Jane stalked towards me, but was stopped by her friends halfway across.
"Listen to me, Perry," she said. "You stay the fuck away from me from now on. The next time I see you, you're gonna wish I'd left you for dead."
She stalked off. One of her companions followed after her. The other, who had spoken to me earlier, came over to us. Jesse and Harry got up to engage him, but he put his hands out in a sign of truce.
"Perry,"
he said, What was that all about? What did you send her?
Ask her yourself, pal, I said.
That's Lieutenant Tagore to you, Corporal.
Tagore looked at Harry and Jesse.
I know you two, he said. You were on the Hampton Roads.
Yes, sir,
Harry said.
Listen to me, all of you, he said. I don't know what the hell that was about, but I want to be very clear about this. Whatever it was, we weren't part of it. Tell whatever story you want, but if the words Special Forces are anywhere in it, I'm going to make it my personal mission to ensure that the rest of your military career is short and painful. I'm not kidding. I will fuck your skull. Are we clear?
Yes, sir,
Jesse said. Harry nodded. I wheezed.
Get your friend looked after, Tagore said to Jesse. He looks like he just got the shit kicked out of him.
He walked out.
Christ, John,
Jesse said, taking a napkin and cleaning my head wound.
What did you do?
I sent her a wedding photo, I said.
Well, that's subtle,
Harry said and looked around.
Where's your cane?
I think it's over by the wall she slammed me into, I said.
Harry left to go get it.
Are you okay?
Jesse said to me.
Yeah, I think I busted a rib, I said.
That's not what I meant, she said.
I know what you meant, I said. And as far as that goes, I think something else is busted too.
Jesse cupped my face with her hand. Harry came back with my cane. We limped back to the hospital. Dr. Fiorina was extremely displeased with me.
Someone nudged me awake. When I saw who it was, I tried to speak.
She clapped a hand over my mouth.
Quiet, Jane said. I'm not supposed to be here.
I nodded. She took her hand away.
Talk low,
she said.
We could use brain pals,
I said.
No, she said. I want to hear your voice. Just keep it down.
Okay,
I said.
I'm sorry about today, she said. It was just unexpected. I don't know how to react to something like that.
It's all right, I said. I shouldn't have broken it to you that way.
Are you hurt?
She asked.
You cracked a rib, I said.
Sorry about that,
she said.
Already healed, I said.
She studied my face, eyes flicking back and forth.
Look, I'm not your wife, she said suddenly. I don't know who you think I am or what I am, but I was never your wife. I didn't know she existed until you showed me the picture today.
You had to know about where you came from, I said.
Why?
She said hotly.
We know we've been made from someone else's genes, but they don't tell us who they were. What would be the point? That person's not us. We're not even clones. I've got things in my DNA which aren't even from Earth. We're the CDF guinea pigs, haven't you heard?
I heard, I said.
So I'm not your wife. That's what I've come here to say. I'm sorry, but I'm not.
All right, I said.
Okay,
she said.
Good. I'm going now. Sorry about throwing you across the room.
How old are you?
I asked.